Thank you. Amen. I love to tell the story. That's me. That's why I'm here today. I love to be able to tell the story, and it's going to be a great, great day as we come together as God's people take this time to celebrate victories and to gather around His Word. As always, I just want to say a special thanks to those that always work behind the scenes in so many different areas, and particularly through the circumstances and situations of COVID. There are so many people that you don't ever see. You got Don and Wesley that are over there making sure that the broadcast goes out today. You got Ernie and Tim over here. You got John Cazito back there, monitoring the online part of things. So there's a whole bunch of moving parts and pieces, and I just want to pause today to say a special thank you to those folks. Let's give them a hand of appreciation. They kind of kept us being able to have services and broadcast services even when we weren't able to meet. So, God's been good in that way. And like I always say, God is good.
All the time.
He really, really is good. Listen, look around. Give somebody a wave, a smile. Put a real smile on your face. I'm not talking about those. I saw it was a pastor's forum, and it said, it showed a guy sitting there, and he was like, and it said, here are the Christians enjoying the experience of the joy of the Lord on Sunday mornings. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Let's make it a little different. Let's have a real smile on our face as we celebrate the real joy of the Lord as we gather together today. By the way, if you're part of our online audience today, be sure to say hello to our very own John Cazito. Again, another one that I'm grateful for who sits back there behind the scenes and follows along. And if there's any questions any of the online folks have, you've got an advocate right there, Dr. John Cazito, representing Central Baptist Church Online today. So if you have any questions, be sure to ask. And if Brother John can't answer them, I guarantee you he will find you the answer to your question. But we're so glad to have this opportunity today to be able to come together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. As we come together, we need to prepare our hearts and minds as we have walked into this place today to truly be able to hear what the Lord has to say to each and every one of us. So in doing so, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity. Lord, today can be a very, very special day in our lives. You have intended it and planned for it to be exactly that. Lord, you've got a word for us through your word. Lord, maybe through song, maybe through the encouragement and the edification of one of the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ today. But Lord, I pray that most of all, we will meet you in this place, that you will speak to our hearts, and that you will truly give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us on an individual basis. Lord, not only on an individual basis, but on a corporate level as well. May we hear from you today, and Lord, may we respond to what it is that you have placed in our heart. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through song. And Lord, as always, I pray that you will use this, your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up today. May your word be truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword today in each and every heart and life. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me as we sing The Church is One Foundation. Please stand as we sing hymn number 350.
Thank you.
Please join me as we sing 249, Glorify Thy Name.
It's all right to say that. Nobody going to accuse you of anything, right? Always good to worship. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Acts chapter 8. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there to the book of Acts chapter 8 with me. And you know, too many times I've heard people who've sat back and they've said, well, you know what? I've been in circumstances or situations or whatever's going on in their life. And they sit back and they say, you know, it just doesn't seem like God cares. You ever been there? I mean, if we're honest, most of us have. You're like, either God's not listening, or God doesn't seem to care about what's going on. Or there are details that you feel like God is way, way over there and doesn't know what's taking place and doesn't know what's going on. Well, today, here's one of the important things that I want you to know. I want you to know that God is truly in all of the details. He has gone before us. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And that is something that we need to understand in each and every one of our lives. Now, when we look in today's passage, it's not going to be one that's going to be unfamiliar to you. But there's a couple of characters that we want to look at. And we want to look at the circumstance and situation of what the Lord knew. And what people might say, well, the Lord didn't know this. Well, trust me when I tell you, the Lord knows every circumstance and situation of your heart and your life right now. He knows all the fine points. He knows the details. But we are what-ifers, aren't we? How many of you would agree you're a what-ifer? Yeah, Lord, but what if? What if this and what if that? Where are my self-proclaimed worriers? Shame on you. Sinners! The rest of y'all are liars. So we're all in the same boat together. We're just a house full of sinners today, aren't we? Sure we are. Well, we begin to look at this particular passage, and today's going to be a great, great day for a lot of reasons. I've been looking forward to this day because, you know, we got a baptism that's going to be following. And what a beautiful opportunity to be able to come together and to witness you know, a believer being obedient to the Lord and following in believer's baptism. So, you know, when we look at today's passage, it puts us in that same vein because what we find is we find the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I told you it wasn't going to be anything that was unfamiliar, but look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 26, and I want to point out some of the finer things of this particular passage. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which runs down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Verse 31, and he said, How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all of your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we just simply ask that you would help us to concentrate upon you. Father, there are so many distractions in life today. I pray that for these few moments, we would be able to just take a deep breath and concentrate on your word in our heart. Lord, may we beg to hear from you today. And Lord, if we do so, if we seek, we know we will find, because your word tells us that. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. But Lord, today, you have a plan to speak to our heart. It was a plan that was organized a long, long time ago. And Lord, may we not miss this divine opportunity that you've given us today. Father, for your messenger for these moments, I just pray that you would use me as a vessel before your people. Lord, not that that I might have any glory, but Lord, that you may get all the glory. So Lord, bless our time as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I look at this, there are so many elements going on in this particular passage of Scripture. I mean, for us, it sounds like, oh, that's a cool story. I've heard that before. But there's a lot taking place here. If you find yourself in one of these camps, you know, one of these players, yeah, you've got Philip, who is the one who is the instrument of God. You've got the Ethiopian eunuch, and you've got the Lord. Those are three people, at least, that we see in this particular passage of Scripture. And then in verse 26, it all starts off in the middle of a normal day. Now, I know we like to say that, and I know what some of y'all thought. Some of y'all just thought, there's no such thing as a normal day anymore. Some of y'all's days are more normal than others. We're creatures of habit. How many of y'all have a normal day? You are a routine kind of person. You like routine, okay? How many of y'all just like to not have any sort of thing going on and take it as it comes? There you go. Y'all need medication, okay? I can say that. For some people, it scares them to death. Now, I've shared this before. You know, sometimes you wind up being spontaneous, And then if you're a spontaneous person with an order person, man, you guys have some issues at times along the way. You know, you're driving down the road, you're in the car on a Saturday, and you're driving along, and all of a sudden the spouse looks at you and says, "Where are we going?" And you say, "Well, I thought we would go down to that new barbecue place down at the beach." "What? Yeah, that'd be cool. Let's just make a day trip down there. And let's just have barbecue." You spontaneous people are like, "Yeah, man, let's go." You order people are like, "Well, how much gas do we have? Are we spending the night? What are we doing?" And it's just, Sometimes I think we need to be a little bit more spontaneous when it comes down to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, a normal day is taking place in the life of Philip. Got up, going about his business, doing whatever. And in verse 26, we see, it says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." That don't seem like a whole lot of information, does it? It is not, but it's enough information. What was it that the Lord said to Philip? "I want you to go where? Toward the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." He said, "Here's a highway I want you to go to." He didn't tell him why. He didn't line it all out from A to Z. He said, "I want you to go on a road trip, and I want you to take Highway 40 and go south on Highway 40. Now, for just a moment, let's pause. If that was you, what would you say? I know what you would say. "Okay, and..." Because see, we want data, don't we? We want details. I mean, even if you are a spontaneous person, you still want a few details, don't you? Did Philip get detail? No. In fact, there was something there that I don't necessarily know if it was me that I would have interjected at the end of that verse. What are the last three words? "All together now. This is desert. Oh, goody. Let's go walk the road down between Jerusalem and Gaza in the desert." You know what it says? Basically, that's telling you there ain't a whole lot of people out there. Not a whole lot of service stations. No Walmarts along the road. It's a pretty desolate stretch. It is designed to get from Jerusalem to Gaza. There's not a whole lot on there. That's what I want you to do. You know what we are prone to do? If this was us, here's what we're prone to do. We're prone to say, "Lord, why? Aren't we? Why? You want me?" And then, when we don't get an acceptable answer as to why, you know what we normally do? "Well, I'm not doing it. Why should I go out there and walk down that sandy road along the way in the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza? Somebody needs to give me some more information." You might not say that, but that's what you're thinking. I mean, let's be real for just a minute. Would you have just jumped up and, the Lord comes to you and says, "Listen, I want you to go out here and I want you to walk south on Highway 68. By the way, it's during the busy time of traffic." Would you say, "Okay," and get up and just start walking south? Most of us would not, because we want to know what are the details. Should I take something with me? Should I carry a canteen? Should I grab me a Coke along the way? Do I need to change? Should I put my tennis shoes on? Why am I doing this? And folks, here's something important that I want you to know. God is not always going to give you every fine detail when He calls you to do something. You see, a lot of it is whether or not we're going to be faithful enough to follow what He has asked us to do, regardless of when we don't know what the details are. Have you ever been there When the Lord has asked you to do something and you have no earthly reason why He's asked you to do it. You know, sometimes you're like, and it, by the way, it's okay to ask, Lord, can you tell me why you want me to walk south on 68? No. You'll find out when the time comes. All right, let's get to walking. Yeah, the Lord wants to lead you one step at a time. He wants to lead you to a place where He can use you. He wants you to lead you to a place where He can enhance your walk with Him. Or He wants you to wants to lead you to a place where He can use you. Now, here's something very important that I don't want us to miss. God had a plan, didn't He? We can see it because we've read the Scripture. We know how it ends. We know that there was a plan. Here is something I want you to understand today. God is in even the smallest, minute details of your life, and He has a plan. Say that with me. He has a plan. And we need to remember that. Even when we don't understand it, He has a plan. The question is, will we get up off of the premises and start following where it is that God is leading us, even when we don't know the who, what, why, where, when, or how? Seems a little ridiculous, doesn't it? That's what He told him in verse 26. That was His marching order. I want you to go, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And I love the first part of verse 27, because you know what did he do? What did Philip do? It said, so he arose and he went. Obedience. He got up and he did what it was that the angel of the Lord told him to do. Get up and go walk that road. Okay, let's do it. Yeah, now, here's something else that we need to understand. As we are walking, we need to have some spiritual vision. We need to be looking for the reason why God has put us on the road from Gaza to Jerusalem. Why? There's a reason why. We need to open our eyes. We need to look at what's taking place. We need to look at what is going on. We need to look for those divine opportunities that God provides along the way, because He will provide them. And some of us look like Stevie Wonder going through life. You're missing all the wonderful things that God has placed right in front of your face. Sometimes they're important things. Sometimes there may even be a test. Now, I've shared this as part of my personal testimony before, because it's indelibly etched into my brain forever. Back years ago, and before I was married, living in an apartment complex, and some of y'all, when you hear this, may remember it. I was pretty much awakened from a sleep. I'm the guy, when I fall asleep, I don't wake up at night. I'm not to the point where I have to make the bathroom trips and all that. Thank you, Lord. So when I go to bed, I don't get up until morning, until time to get up. But not this night. I woke up. And it was just a heavy sense of the Holy Spirit. Now, you talk about weird. All right, well, I'm going to weird you out a little bit. The Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to get up and get dressed and go down to the mailbox. Now, I was living in an apartment complex, and you know how it is. There's a big block of mailboxes out there. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I've already checked the mail. Why? What? I mean, listen, I was awake too. It wasn't any of that normal, like, no, I was awake. So what does Roy do, being the spiritual guy he is? I complained the whole time that I was putting on my britches and my shoes. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm sitting there getting ready to go downtown to go in the mailbox at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's the dumbest thing I ever thought. And I lived on the third floor of the apartment complex. And then I'm sitting there going, go down the steps, which means you got to come back up the steps. So I walked down there. I walked down. The mailboxes were out in front of our apartment complex. And I went, literally, I got out there and I went, I'm here. I see nobody. Not a soul. the pool was right over to the right. I said, well, maybe whoever the Lord sent me down here for is over at the pool. So I turn and I walk over to the pool. I look around, not a soul there. I said, I must have just had some bad chip beef or something. I don't know. I'm going back to bed. I turn around and there is a person over there checking their mail at 3 o'clock in the morning. No car drove up, no footsteps, no nothing. So what did I do, being the spiritual, pastoral individual I am? I went, and I watched them get their mail out of a box, walk around the corner and start up the road to the apartment. I was like frozen. Because, I mean, when I saw him and my chin hit the ground, the Lord's like, there he is. Go get him. And I was like, and I didn't move. And then finally I was like, okay. So I go up and I walk around and look up the road. There's nobody to be seen. Nobody to be found. Now, like I said, I'm going to weird you out a little bit. I mean, do I think that was, oh yeah, I think that was very real. I think I failed in an opportunity that God gave me. I believe that God had that person ready to hear the gospel message at that particular moment. And I believe that God got me up out of bed because he cared about that person at the mailbox that I didn't even know, cared about them enough to get me up, get me dressed, get me down the steps, get me to the mailbox, and for me to fumble the ball crossing the goal line. Yay, Roy! I don't ever want to be in that place again. Over the years, 30-some plus years, I've prayed, God, I pray you gave that person another opportunity and that the person that you put in their path didn't fail like I did. I believe that with all of my heart. The hard part was getting me out of bed. The hard part was getting me downstairs. The easy part should have been telling him about the gospel because I'm a preacher. And yet, I was frozen in my tracks. Are we paying attention? See, God is in the details. When you sit back and think that God doesn't care about what's going on, God's waking somebody up to see you. God is placing somebody along your path to be able to help you with the journey, to be able to give you the good godly advice, to be able to pick up the slack, to walk beside you, to walk with you along the way. The question is, how many of them are we just blowing past? How many of those opportunities are we missing? And that's when all of a sudden God goes, oh, I set it up. It was perfect. Open your eyes. You ever use that expression when you're looking for something, when you're sitting there going, I can't find it, and then somebody goes right there and goes, you mean this? And you're like, well, if it was a snake, it would have bit me. How many times spiritually do we do that? Listen, I want to guarantee you it's on a daily basis. We miss opportunities that God has in our heart and in our lives. So now, it says that he arose, verse 27 says, he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. So now we get a little idea of what's taking place. It was kind of like, this is the guy that showed up at the mailbox. This is the eunuch. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. And there's something different about him. This is not a guy who is poor. This is not a guy who's laid out in the sand. This is a wealthy guy. This is a guy who has means. This is a guy who would be considered your upper crust. Why? Because in verse 27, it tells us he was the person who was in charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was pretty much an officer. So now he sees this guy and he's like, that ain't the guy sitting there holding the cardboard sign that says we'll work for food. That's not the guy that I don't care what he thinks about me. This is a guy that I really want to try to be impressive to. Have you ever noticed? Let me tell you something. I'm going to say something, I'm going to go on record, and this might sound harsh. It's easy to sit there and tell the guy about Jesus that has nothing else to lose, that's standing on a corner with a sign that says he'll work for food. It's easy to tell them about Jesus. Go over to the guy that's the head of the Fortune 500 company and tell him about Jesus. See how difficult that is. Why? Why is it difficult? Because we view people differently, whether we want to or not, we do. We care about what they say or think. We care about what they may think about us. And yet this is an officer of Candace the queen. And it says that he had come to Jerusalem. He had gone down there to a worship service. That's the best way for me to say it. He had literally gone to church, and he was on his way home. Now, he was like a whole bunch of people on every Sunday. They come into church, and they leave confused. What does that mean? What did the preacher mean when he said that? I don't understand it. Now look at verse 28. It says, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He was in the right place. He was reading his Bible on the journey home. And he's reading a story that he doesn't understand. It says, verse 29, that the Spirit said, this is a key thing. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. All right, Philip, go run this guy down. What? Listen, he's riding a chariot. Philip's on foot. Go get him, boy. Go get him. There he is, like my guy at the mailbox. There he is. And Philip's going. I'm sure that the horse and buggy probably trotted by him at that time. Said, go get him, boy. There he is, Philip. And Philip literally has to run him down. That's what it means when it says in verse 29, go near and overtake the chariot. Notice verse 30. It becomes very plain. So Philip ran to him. How many of us are running to serve the Lord? Ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Now, you've got to get this in your mind. You've got to get this in the picture. He hasn't been invited to get in the chariot yet. The chariot has not stopped. He is still riding down the road. So what you've got is you've got Philip running beside him like, how you doing? You understanding what you're reading? You don't think that's weird? Go out here to the stoplight. When you pull off from the stoplight, let somebody run up beside your car today and start talking to you. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to floor it to get away from them because you're going to think they're weird. So this guy, this wealthy guy, reading his Bible, doesn't understand what he's reading. Philip is having to run. And by the way, what kind of a region is this? I bet it was hot. Think he might have been a little sweaty. Now, I don't know about you. One of the things I hate is getting sand on me when I'm sweaty. Ugh. Sometimes we're going to have to sweat for the Lord. Sometimes we're going to get a little sand on us to be usable by the Lord. And Philip is running beside him, and he just simply asks him, do you understand what you are reading? Verse 31, and he said, this is what he said. This was the response he got. How can I, verse 31, how can I unless somebody guides me? He said, no, I don't understand. I don't have a teacher. I don't have somebody to tell me what this is all about. And then he says, Philip, driver, stop a minute. Philip, why don't you come on up here and sit with me? Now, I don't know which direction he was going, but I guarantee you it probably wasn't the direction Philip was. Sometimes we don't have to take a detour to be used by the Lord. Sometimes you may have to go, when you want to go north, you may have to go south for a while because you're riding with somebody who needs to hear the message of Jesus. See, ask Philip, verse 31, to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture in which he read was, and get this, of all things, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer silent, so he opened not his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you understand that scripture? Don't answer me. Because the same way that Philip asked that question to this particular Ethiopian eunuch, it holds true today. Do you understand what that verse is talking about? See, that's an Old Testament passage. Do you get it? In his, who's his? By the way, I'll give you a hint. If depending on what translation you're reading, that's got a capital H on his. In his humiliation, his capital H justice was taken away. And who will declare his capital H generation? For his capital H life is taken away from the earth. It's talking about the crucifixion of Christ. Did you get it? When you read that, did you say, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Because you know what? There are people right now who may even be listening to this and say, I don't understand what that's talking about either. Let me ask you, do you need Jesus like this Ethiopian eunuch did? See, I will make you a promise. You're not going to understand the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit teaches it to you. Some of the smartest people I know are the most biblically illiterate people on the face of this planet. I have talked to Harvard graduates who are, I'm trying to be kind, the most spiritually ignorant people on the face of this planet. You know why? Because without the Spirit, you cannot understand this. And how do you get the Spirit? You get the Spirit when you trust and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, you've probably heard it before, maybe even experienced it, that you read the Bible and there was things that you didn't understand along the way. And then when you trusted Jesus, all of a sudden you're reading it and the light bulb came on. I get it. Because you got a teacher, the Holy Spirit. How, even the eunuch said, how am I going to know unless somebody teaches me? Folks, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. But you know what? He still uses people just like he used Philip. He wants to use you and me and the hearts and the lives of the people that come together in our sphere of influence. They're not there by accident. That person, every one of us has that person or persons that just grate on our nerves. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now let me tell you something. There's no accident that they're in your life. You might be going, No. There's no accident. There is something that you can contribute to their life. Oh, and by the way, there's actually something that they could contribute to yours. But too many times we won't listen because we're too busy avoiding those kind of people. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he rode along, Philip could have said, well, that can't be the guy. He can have whatever he wants to. I'm looking for some poor soul out here that's dying and, you know, needs Jesus. No, that was the one. I have a feeling it was the only one. I mean, even Philip may have looked at that chariot and said, far as I can see, nothing. Far as I can see, nothing. Well, that's got to be him. And the Lord said, yeah, that's him. Go get him. Oh man, look, man, geez, I'm not on the same socioeconomic level as him. Jesus, you know what Jesus will tell you today when you say that? You're absolutely right. You're not. You're far better off because you're one of my children and you got a spot in the kingdom. So get off of your duff and go and recruit for the family. You're better off than him. Go get him. Stop making excuses for why you can't. I hear every excuse in the world as to why people cannot do, when I've said simply this: you only need one reason to do it, and it's simply because God called you to do it and God asked you to do it, and that is enough. Listen, if you're sitting there crossing your arms saying to God, I ain't doing it, you're on some very dangerous ground. God will say, oh yeah? Watch what I can do. because he cares enough. I think the biggest overriding thing I want us to understand today was that God cared for a lost soul so much that he used his children and matriculated this whole plan to get him there, to hear the gospel, to have those opportunities. God is in the details. Remember how we started off and what we were talking about? When you don't think God's there, he's already lined up all the details. Help is on the way. Start looking for it. What if you happen to be the help? That's a whole lot more scary, isn't it? Just maybe you're supposed to be the Philip in this story and not the Ethiopian eunuch. And everybody goes, well, that's too much pressure. No, it isn't. How do I know that? Well, because if God told you to do it, then you just do it. That's simple. Get up, go. All right, here we go. He will unfold the plan along the way. So he reads this scripture to him. Verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now he's getting the whole kit and caboodle plan of salvation that every one of us should know. A small child can tell it. It doesn't have to be a bunch of these and thous in it, and it doesn't have to parse verbs and nouns, and you don't have to exegete it in the Greek. You just have to know your story, and you got to know the story of Jesus, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. I've said before, I think we try to complicate too many things. You get a bunch of preachers together, that's an ego trip and a half, let me tell you. They all try to outdo each other. Seriously, they try to talk in words that it's got too many vowels in it for me. I'm just a simple plowboy for the kingdom. And I walk away from meetings and things like that saying, Lord, I don't want to be anything but a plowboy for the kingdom. Because that's too complicated. And I said, last time I checked, the word said, the gospel is so simple that a child can understand it. So Lord, help me make it so a child can understand the gospel. I don't go up to a 4-year-old in Awana or even a 16-year-old in Awana and say, let's sit down and parse out the plan of salvation in the Greek. Let's diagrammatically analyze this thing. They're going to look at me like, I won't be back. It's not complicated. We complicate too many things, don't we? Philip opened his mouth and he told him. In verse 36, it says, and now they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Why do you think he asked that question? Because Philip had told him the whole gospel message, and he also told him about baptism. What is baptism? Baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. It is not, listen to me, it is not an element of salvation. Are you hearing me? Now, why do I say that? Because there are people who will come to me that have been outside the church all their life, and they saw, this guy's a preacher. Maybe we've met up along the road somewhere along the way, and they're like, preacher, let me ask you a question. Can I come be baptized at your church? What do you think I say? Oh, the Southern Baptists will love that. We can add more to our numbers on the baptism list at the end of the year and make us look a whole lot better. No. You know what I say? Why? Why do you want to be baptized at Central Baptist Church? You know what I hear often? Because I want to go to heaven. And you know what I say? You're knocking on the wrong door, son. I said, baptism doesn't get you to heaven. See, there are so many of us today who think that it's an act. It is something that we have to do to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible tells us there's nothing you can do to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is by grace that we're saved and through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, salvation's about trusting Jesus, but baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. We church stuff up like crazy, don't we? How many times have we said, we're all guilty of it because we're Baptists. You know, somebody comes down and they speak to the preacher at the front during the invitation and they said, yeah, they've accepted Christ. And we say, well, so-and-so's here to make their public profession of faith. No, let me rephrase that. They are here to publicly profess Jesus, but Jesus already said, here's the method of public profession of faith, and it is called baptism. That's how you show that you have aligned yourself with. And there's symbolism in it. How many of y'all remember some good old-time preachers? Like I said, I'm a hillbilly. I grew up in the mountains. Remember those guys? Two of you. Hallelujah. There's a couple of y'all left. But you remember, they would say stuff. They'd baptize somebody, and they'd say, you know, they'd say something like, buried with Christ, raised in the likeness of his image. Remember that? Well, what is that a picture of? Anybody? Anybody? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Dying to self, dying to sin. Some of you, how many of y'all ever heard the old preacher talk about the watery grave? Couple, two or three of you. Buried with him, just like being buried in that old watery grave, and resurrected to newness of life in Jesus Christ. All it is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ and you go through that baptismal water, all you got was wet. That's it. I take a bath every day. I don't get baptized every day, but I take a bath every day. When I get in the shower, it's essentially to get clean. That is the purpose. When you go through the waters of baptism, it is to publicly profess Jesus Christ. It is not salvation. So therefore, if you're asking me, can I be baptized in your church? And I ask you why, and you say, because I want to go to heaven, I'm going to tell you no. Because we have to have further conversation before we can get there. You're leaving something, in fact, the most critical something out of this situation. You're leaving Jesus out of it. Oh. But how many times do we just go through the waters of baptism and go, and how many people think that baptism, because they were baptized, is going to send them to heaven? No, you're just going to go to hell wet, and you're going to dry up real quick because it's hot. What is baptism? It is an act of obedience. And I love what the Ethiopian eunuch said. Notice verse 36. He says, they came to someone, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me? You know what that means? That means he's already trusted Jesus Christ when he had the conversation with Philip. And Philip said, now, what you do as an act of obedience in following the Lord is your public profession is to be baptized by immersion. You know what the eunuch said? Hey, here's water. Is there something really weird about this? Have you ever thought about this? What did that scripture in like the first few verses tell that this place was? And the desert usually doesn't have what? Well, Lord have mercy. They came upon. Do you think that was by accident? Do you think it was by just happenstance that it happened to be there? No. Once again, God is in all of the details. There's water. And it was even to where the Spirit at that point had touched the eunuch and said, hey, there's water. He was talking about baptism. There's water. Do you realize the eunuch is the one who asked him to be baptized? Philip didn't say, well, brother, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on some water up here. Would you like to be baptized? No, the eunuch said, hey, here's water. Let's get her done. That's a spiritual term, get her done. Notice verse 36, latter part. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said to him in verse 37, and this is the key of what we've been talking about. If you believe with all of your heart, believe what? Believe in Jesus Christ and in the crucifixion, the burial and the resurrection, and the fact that he's coming again. If you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. So he commanded that chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Man, what a glorious time that'll be. And you're going to see it here in just a minute. Isn't that cool? I hope you view baptism differently after we've looked at this. And then something even more bizarre happened after that. And a lot of preachers will just glaze over this, but look at verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do you know what that means? It means that when they came up, Philip and that eunuch probably went, yeah, and all of a sudden Philip disappeared. Where'd he go? And the eunuch was like, don't matter. It's a good day. I'm happy. I'm saved. And he went on his way. He didn't sit back trying to solve the mystery of where Philip had gone. But notice what verse 40 says. But Philip was found at Azotus. All of a sudden, he was in a pool of water, and then he was in a different city. Ain't that cool? So the Lord said, Philip, I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you out to the desert. You just be faithful. You do what you're supposed to do. And don't worry about it. I'll get you back home. He got him home, all right. Just like that. And some of y'all are going, duh. Well, read it for yourself. That's what it says. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He's like, that was cool. What's next? And you see, part of the problem, folks, is that too many of us worry. Self-proclaimed worriers. We sit back all the time and say, this situation looks really, really bad. And you know what? It may. But let me tell you what I know. I know that God has gone on before you. I know that God has placed the people and the things and the circumstances in your path that are needed for you to be delivered. The question is, how many of us realize that maybe we are one of the people that God wants to use in the life of somebody else? So there's a twofold thing going on here. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. Here's the twofold thing. You either find yourself in the position of the Ethiopian eunuch. You're lost. Maybe you're trying to understand. Maybe you're seeking. Maybe you feel bad because you think that everybody sitting in the octagon here are so spiritual and you're not. And you're hiding and you're trying to learn, but yet you're not understanding. Maybe you're like that eunuch. How will you know unless somebody tells you? But then again, maybe you're Philip. Maybe the Lord's saying, I need you to get up and go walk down the highway. And we're like, oh, man, that's bad for my feet, man. It's 95 degrees outside today and it's hot. Let me make you a promise. Whatever path or road the Lord sends you on is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sweaty. It's going to be costly. But I'll tell you one thing, you'll never regret it. Too many of us have gotten comfortable. Remember my old expression from the days of old? Too many of us have gotten into the lazy boy. Remember I said they named it that way? Lazy boy. They didn't call it a worker boy. They called it a lazy boy for a reason. It will swallow you up. Are you the Philip of today's biblical passage, or are you the Ethiopian eunuch? Now I want to say something else. This is important. Because over my years of ministry, here's something else I found out. Some of you probably in this room today, you thought you trusted Jesus when you were younger. Church camp, youth meeting, or you followed because that's what your friends were doing. And you thought you trusted Jesus. Only to find out later in life that you had not. But you see, back when you were young, the preacher was real, real adamant about getting you in that baptismal water quickly. So you were not really saved back then. You hadn't really trusted Christ, but you were baptized. And I cannot tell you the number of people who said, well, you know, I was baptized back when I was younger. Don't that count now? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Were you baptized before or after salvation? Well, I just told you I didn't get saved till later on in life. Ding, 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 ding. There's your answer. And you know what I've heard? I am 50 years old. It is not going to look good if I get baptized at 50 years old when I have been a pillar in the church. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell and Satan himself. I will guarantee you that there are people in this room right now that need to be with us up there in a few minutes. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's already spoken to your heart. Now, here's the question. You're going to do one of two things. You're either going to listen to the Holy Spirit or you're not. You're either going to get up and walk the road or you're going to sit back and let Satan win again. The question is, what will you do? I pose this question just like the Ethiopian eunuch himself said. There's water up there. What is hindering you? Oh, now the Satan just told you, well, you didn't bring clothes. We'll find you some clothes. We got clothes back up there. Jimmy and Debbie and Janet will find you something. And you can walk away from here victorious. Is that you? I've often shared the story of Rodney and Wilson, and will continue to do so as long as God gives me breath and ministry. Rodney was, I guess, what, in his 70s? Rodney in his 70s literally hadn't trusted Jesus. Accepted Christ in the lobby of a show that we were at in High Point on a Saturday. The next day on a Sunday came down and said, look, I want to let everybody know I've trusted Jesus and I want to follow him in baptism. Rodney had been a deacon before. Rodney had served in many different capacities, but you know what was more important to Rodney? What the Lord thought than what everybody else thought. And we baptized Rodney in his 70s. And it was great. Is that you today? Listen, I'm talking to you straight. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is it time to get it right? Is it time to be free of that conviction? First and foremost, have you trusted Jesus? That's what Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch as well. Have you trusted him? Have you placed your trust into him? It's not about a method. It's about a person. Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and I'm turning my life over to you. I trust you. That's salvation. But see, you got to follow him. It's not you just check the box off. You're part of the family. You need to represent the family. Have you, if you've trusted him, followed in baptism after you trusted him? Oh, mercy. Well, if not, there's water, we got clothes, and in just a minute, when I say me and Amy are going back up there to get ready for baptism, you come on down too. We'll find you some clothes, that ain't no problem. And you can shake your fist at the devil and say, watch this. Watch me be obedient to the Father. This is our time of invitation. It's time for you to do what it is. Don't be like the eunuch. The eunuch left the church services, didn't know a thing. Is that going to be you? Left the church service, never changed. It wasn't until on the road home that he found the Lord. If you need me, I'm going to be standing here as Brad's going to come and lead us in our invitation hymn. I'm simply going to ask that you stand where you are as we sing this hymn. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar to spend a little time at the altar, come on down. We're old-fashioned. Listen, matter of fact, look, hymn number 317, only trust him. Are you going to trust him? Listen, we're not going to sing 97 verses of this. It's one or two. You already know what you need to do. The question is, will you do it? Will you respond to the Father as we sing, Brother Brad?
My very soul, I sing the rest. There's mercy.
bowed, your eyes are closed, you continue to do business with God. Amy and I are going to make our way up to the baptistry, those that are the baptistry aides. Is that you? Do you need to be a part of this baptism? Don't let Satan hold you back. Don't let him keep you from being where you need to be. This is your time. This is your chance. Will you follow him? As we make our way up, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him.
Father, we thank you that in a time when we get to come and worship you, we get to worship you with tithes and offerings. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless this offering we're about to take this morning, that you'll bless the giver and the gift. Use the gift that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Roy thought we might want to have a hymn in here while they get ready. He picked Standing on the Promises. I've always thought it'd be funny to stay seated as we sing Standing on the Promises, but I can't do it. So let's stand as we sing. 335. 335.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior,
amen. Folks, you may be seated. What a great, great time and a great opportunity that we have to be able to come together today to witness our sister in Christ as she makes her public profession of faith, having trusted Christ and coming before the family. I am so proud of Amy. Amy's had a lot of things going on over the years. I love watching and hearing the thunder roll. Watching the generations of service to our Lord through Amy. She's how many generations? I know at least three. It's your dad, you, her. Was there any before that? Maybe five, up to five generations. And what it always warms my heart just to have the opportunity to see Amy serving with her daddy and serving the Lord. And grandma, mama, always proud and have an opportunity to see her children and her grandchildren serve the Lord. That is such a great, great feeling and opportunity to know that we're going to all spend eternity together in heaven. What a joy that is. Amy's worked hard, come through school, got a lot of life left ahead of her, but every time I see her and every time you see her play, you know, she carries on a legacy, even as she plays her granddaddy's horn that continues to serve. What a beauty it is. And today, we get to celebrate with Amy as she makes her public profession to you by you know, being baptized today. Amy, come on now. So to my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Amy Crider, who needs no introduction whatsoever. Amy, have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a joyous opportunity to be able to participate in? We just need to see a whole bunch more of that. So all you Phillips, get out there and reach somebody for Jesus, and we'll keep this pool filled up all the time. We'll keep Jimmy and Debbie and Jana and everybody else working that mop to death. David is going to let us know what we need to know before he gets us out of here as far as the things that are going on today, birthdays, anniversaries, and then close us in a word of prayer. But thank you guys so much. I love you. I'm so proud of Amy. When you get a chance, give her a hug and let her know how proud you are of her, of the stance that she's taken in publicly professing Jesus today. God bless you. David?
Jonathan Cazito's birthday. And then September the 1st is Aaron McFadden's birthday. And then tomorrow is Rick and Millie Bailiff's anniversary. You want to tell us which one? All right. Today is a very important day, too, back in the foyer. If you have not signed up for our annual picnic, today is the last day you've got an opportunity to do that. So we're going to be having our picnic at Colfax at the Triad Park next Sunday. It starts at 1 o'clock after the worship service is over. You'll have time, if you don't live too far away, to go get your food and bring it. We need you to sign up today so we know how much food to buy. Next week, also, as was last year, Awaken Church will be joining us. So they'll be fellowshipping with us at the picnic. Now, don't get any ideas about what I'm getting ready to say. Jim's a caterer, by the way. He has decided that he's going to cook food for his people, so all they have to do is bring desserts. So he's cooking a large amount of baked beans and green beans and mac and cheese. Now, the staff of this church is not going to do that, okay? Just to make sure you understand that. We need for you to sign up. So when you're signing up, don't sign up for green beans, baked beans, or mac and cheese, because he's going to bring a huge amount. So anything else you want to sign up for to bring, that's fine. The church is going to provide the hot dogs and hamburgers, the rolls, the condiments, the stuff that goes on them, except for chili. If you want to bring chili or slaw, you can sign up for that. I think we have some people who've already done that. Please sign up today, because we have to buy food this week and we need to know how much to buy. We want to make sure that you're not just sitting there eating potato salad when you come, that you can actually have a hamburger or a hot dog also and some dessert. All right, I know there's a pile of stuff going on today. Also, it was the last day that we'll be promoting an offering for Camp Carefree. So if you haven't had an opportunity to give this month, you want to turn it in sometime this week, that'll be fine. We'll take it anytime this week if you can bring it by the church. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on. We've had it in our bulletin, and we've been announcing it and everything. We don't have the screen up for them to run, so I hope you know what else is going on. Let me lead you. Okay. Finance committee, yeah, after this service today, immediately. Quick meeting. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today. God, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to witness Amy being baptized today. And Lord, there's still room for more. God, help us as we go about our daily living to share Christ with those we come in contact with, just like Philip did, the Ethiopian eunuch. Bless us as we go from this place, Lord. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight to study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.